So we're coming close to the end of Prabhupada's purports. Tomorrow's verse will be the last purport from Prabhupada. That's where he left off. So it's a very, very significant portion of the Bhagavatam we're in right now. So today we're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 13, text number 63. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Utaya, Utaya, Krishnasya, Shirasya, Bhadiyo, Patan, Aste, Mahidvam, Prak, Dishtam, Smritva, Smritva, Puna, Puna, Utaya Utaya Krishnasya Shirasya Padayo Patan Aste Mahidvan Pragdrishtam Smritma Smritma Puna Puna Utaya Utaya Krishnasya Shirasya padayo patan Aste mahitvan pragdrishtam Smritma smritna puna puna. Ladies, Utaya, Utaya, rising repeatedly. Krishnashya of Lord Krishna. Chirashya for a long time. Padayo at the lotus feet. Patan falling down. Aste remained. Mahitvam. The greatness, prakdishtam, which he had previously seen, smrit basvritra, remembering and remembering, puna puna, again and again. Translation and purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, rising and falling again and again. At the lotus feet of Lord Krishna for a long time, Lord Brahma remembered over and over the Lord's greatness he had just seen. As stated in one prayer, Shrutam apare smritam itade, bharatam ande bhajatam bhavabhita, hammiha nandam vande yashalande param brahma. Let others study the Vedas, Smriti and Mahabharata, fearing material existence. But I shall worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard is crawling the Supreme Brahman. Nanda Maharaj is so great that the Parabrahman is crawling in his yard, therefore I shall worship him. Pajavali 126. Brahma was falling down in ecstasy because of the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who exactly resembled a human child. Brahma was naturally astonished. Therefore, with a faltering voice, he offered prayers, understanding that here was the Supreme Person. Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gudun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Savdajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vanijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bresdaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachiri Shatarine Smritvas Smritva, smritva, puna, punaha. Remembering and remembering again and again and again and again and again and again. Smadhanam. This is one of the principal aspects of bhakti. Remembering the Lord. Actually, this hearing and chanting empowers us to remember Krishna. You see, Prabhupada's order is always remember Krishna. Never forget him. So how do you get the ability to do that? By hearing and chanting. Chanting is enchanting. If one chants in a pure mood of begging for devotional service, that chanting is indeed most enchanting. So by this process of absorbing ourselves in hearing and chanting, serving, etc., then we are blessed with remembrance of Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna, the spiritual master, the pastimes of the spiritual master, the devotees of the Lord, and the pastimes of the devotees of the Lord. The more we can be absorbed like this, the more our lives become perfect. I remember when I first joined, coming out of the hippie movement, we had so many contaminated memories of illicit activities. But I knew that, well, here I am now living in the ashram, and now I'm getting new memories. So gradually all those old memories will fade away, and I'll have all the memories of this festival and that lecture and this and that. And it worked. One of my fondest memories, every time I come to New Dwarka, I just go, my heart melts when I think about one memory when Prabhupada was coming. One morning he came back from the walk. He used to get out, they would drive into the beach or to the park. And the car would pull up here on the street. And Prabhupada would walk up the sidewalk and then around to his quarters in the back. And there was a wonderful system. Every devotee, we would line up along the sidewalk. And every devotee would have a flower. And Prabhupada would have a basket of flowers. And you would have your own one-on-one moment with Prabhupada. You would give him a flower, and he would give you a flower. Just you and Prabhupada. Your one little moment. Every devotee had their little moment with Prabhupada. It was so amazing. I had come from Texas with Vishnu Janaswamy. He got a hug. And I felt really good because I was one of his men. I felt like I was getting a hug too. When I saw him getting hugged, I felt so good to see Vishnu Janaswamy getting that hug, you see. So now Prabhupada comes on down the line, and I got this flower in my hand that Prabhupada had given me. So I describe Prabhupada's darshan like this, you see. Drinking Prabhupada into your heart through your eyes. So as Prabhupada's coming around the sidewalk, you know, curving around, going to the back, I stood here on the steps for another darshan, another drink, to drink Prabhupada even more deeply into my heart, you see, as he was coming. And right out here, just right outside this door, I was standing on the steps right out there. And Prabhupada looked up at me. He saw somebody was not in the queue. Somebody was out of the queue. It wasn't in the flower line queue. And he wondered if I got into flower now yet. And he was not verbal, but it was body language and facial expression. He held up a flower like this. Did you get a flower yet, you know? He held it up. He wanted to make sure I hadn't missed out on getting a flower, you see. Just see the love and the kindness of Srila Prabhupada. And I held up my flower and showed him, you know. I must have had an ear-to-ear grin. Wow, Prabhupada noticed me. He cares about me. He wanted to make sure I got a flower. You know? So I showed Prabhupada my flower, and then he went on to his quarters. So whenever I come to New Dwarka, I remember that pastime. How Prabhupada was getting out of the car. He was coming down the line. See? So this remembrance is so powerful. You see, Krishna consciousness is transcendental to time and space. You understand? So actually, that lila is still happening. You see, it's not a dead and gone thing. That lila is still going on. And just by remembering it, I can enter back into it. So this is the power of remembering, you see. Remembering actually can transport you beyond time and space into these wonderful pastimes of Prabhupada, or even if you weren't there, you know, just hearing about it or seeing the movie, you see, you can also feel something. Oh, I lamented I didn't join the 22nd Avenue. Why was I such an idiot? I was actually in New York at the time, the summer of 66. I was in New York, and I was such an idiot. Somehow I wasn't ready, you see. I was there in that neighborhood. I was in Greenwich Village, very close to 22nd Avenue. So even that lament, that I didn't join at that time. I didn't have the good fortune to walk a few more blocks to 26th Second Avenue, you see. These remembrances, these feelings are actually very purifying for the heart. So we all can dig into our memories and find those things that are very powerful and very purifying and very uplifting and very thrilling and exciting. We can keep those memories, you see. We can talk about them, we can remember them. These are very powerful things. This remembering process, you see, enables us to get out of the mundane consciousness. You see, Prabhupada so kindly revealed so many amazing pastimes. So many amazing pastimes he revealed on this planet. Here in New Dwarka, in so many places all over the world. So many places. Just hearing these pastimes of Prabhupada is just so thrilling. Just amazing what Prabhupada did. And now hearing about Lord Brahma's pastime is in bathing, Abhishek with the tears from his eyes. He must have been crying a lot. I mean, it takes a lot of water to bathe feet, you know. He must, of course, he had eight eyes. So, you know, he must have had a lot of tears coming out. You know. The eight eyes he had, he was tearing with eight eyes to bathe the lotus feet of Krishna. Is he? So we can hanker for that. When my eyes become decorated with tears of love. There's a nice prayer by Lord Gauranga, you see. Lord Rama was tearing in Krishna consciousness. We can hanker for that day when I will also have tears of love flowing from my eyes. When will my eyes be decorated with tears of love, you see. We want to become soft-hearted. See, that is our desire. Right now we're very hard-hearted people, you see. Lusty, angry, greedy, maddened, puffed-up characters. It's hard for us to feel that emotion of love of Krishna. Love of spiritual master, love of devotees. You see, sometimes difficult. We take the devotees for granted, finding fault. We really have to beat our mind with shoes and realize even to have the association of one Vaishnava is unlimitedly valuable. Sadhu, 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 sangha, sadhu, sangha, sarva, shastikai. Sadhu, sangha, lava, matta, sarva, siddhi, hai. Just having even 1/11th of a second, lava, matra, that little tiny bit of association with a sadhu, a devotee of the Lord, can enable you to achieve the highest perfection. Sarva siddhi hai. All perfections. That perfection is develop pure love for Krishna. Because Prabhupada has pure love for Krishna. Just by remembering Prabhupada's pastimes, whether we were in them, or just heard about them, or just saw them on the screen, it's all absolute. Just by remembering these wonderful pastimes of Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, smritva, smritna, pana, panaha, again and again and again and again, remembering, 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 remembering. There's no such thing as too much remembrance. Our problem is too much forgetfulness. So we have to train ourselves to remember these things. More and more and more. That's why, as much as possible, read these books. Prabhupada said, all of my disciples must read all of my books or they will fall down. Well, I'm a grand disciple, I don't have to worry about it. No, grand disciples are also disciples. Different. We're all disciples of Prabhupada. Either disciple, grand disciple, great grand disciple. Prabhupada's order that all of my disciples have to read all of the books applies to all of us. See? And by this process of reading, then your heart becomes filled with remembrance. And when you remember Krishna, when you remember the teachings of Krishna, when you remember the spiritual master, you remember the teachings of the spiritual master, you're situated beyond birth and death. We don't have to wait for death to become liberated, to go back to Godhead. We can let our false ego die now. From now on, I have no business except to serve Krishna purely with my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances. Let Krishna do whatever he wants to with his body. That's his business. But let my business be that my every thought, word, and deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, must be completely, totally pleasing to my spiritual master and to Lord Sri Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. This consciousness will liberate us from this horrible entanglement in karma chakra. Millions and billions of lifetimes we have been suffering like anything. Horrible, nightmarish, stressful, dire conditions of existence. Horrible things. Simply horrible sufferings we've gone through. We're fortunate we don't remember them, actually. If we were to remember all the hell we went through in all these lifetimes, we'd be suffering from a heavy case of post-trauma stress disorder. We'd be completely freaked out if we could remember all the hell we've gone through in the material world. The fact that we don't remember our previous verse is a great blessing. A great blessing. So now let us make this life perfect. From the moment I rise in the morning to the moment I take rest at night, let me always be thinking of Krishna. Always be thinking how to please Krishna, how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, how to awaken the fallen, suffering souls of this world to their constitutional position, svarupa. We're not of this material world. This is not our home. We have nothing to do with this damn place except to engage in Krishna's service. So we can become sober. We can become serious. Then everything changes. It's magic, actually. It's magical. This is something my godbrother Shamasundar talks about. Magical. It becomes magical when we actually fully embrace this mission that Prabhupada has given us. You live in a magical realm. Krishna conscious abode, you see. If we live in that mission of re-spiritualizing the human society, then material nature can't pinch us any longer. Even it may pinch our bodies, it won't pinch us. Aham Brahmasmi. It's like, no, my voice is no good. I'm suffering with some kind of pinched nerve, you see. But that's not me. I'm situated beyond this body. I'm an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with Krishna. I'm one of his associates. So I have no business except to think about him, to serve him, try to love him, to try to spread his glories to everyone on this planet. I have no other business. So in this way we can be Even our bodies are falling apart with old age, sickness. We can be totally ecstatic, fixed on our ever youthful natures. Just as Krishna is Navayovanam, he's an ever fresh youth. We also are Navayovanam. We are ever fresh youths. We never get old. We never get sick. We never die. If we absorb ourselves in remembering Krishna, serving our spiritual master's mission, then we actually live in that ecstatic Navayovanam consciousness. So we take this process seriously. The material nature will not be able to pinch us anymore. We have to embrace this process. If we do not embrace this process, Maya Devi will hold us in her tight embrace. So who do you want to, what kind of embrace do you want? You see, it's your choice. We can embrace Krishna consciousness or we can embrace Maya Devi. You see, either way we will embrace. It's our choice how we will embrace. No one can force you to become Krishna conscious. What do you want? It's up to you. Do you want pure bhakti? Or do you want sense gratification? See, a choice each of us has to make within our hearts. Are we serious about this process? Do we actually want to embrace pure bhakti? Or do we want to linger in this sense gratification consciousness? It's up to us. No one can force me to surrender to Krishna. I have to come to that conclusion that I have no happiness other than taking complete, total shelter of my spiritual master in Krishna. There's absolutely nothing else I can do that'll make me happy. This conviction we must have. If we have this conviction and we act on it, it becomes magical, it becomes revolutionary. That consciousness can actually transform the whole world. It's contagious. As Prabhupada's mood was contagious, he wants us to also be like them. He said one time, I have made 10,000 followers, now you must make 10 times more. He says, I have done 10 times more than my Guru Maharaj, now you must do 10 times more than me. Wow. And then the next generation has to do 10 times more than them, you see. That means every Prabhupada disciple should make 100,000 followers. And every one of those followers should make, what is that, a million? Yeah, a million followers. And this way we can quickly take over the world if we just follow Prabhupada's instruction. You know. I have done 10 times more than that, you must do 10 times more, you see. How can I do even a fraction of what Prabhupada did? On my own, I can't do anything. I can't even get up in the morning and come to Mangal Arati on my own. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, you see, then anything can be done. We have to learn how to become instruments in the hands of Guru and Krishna. Then there's no limit to what we can accomplish. As long as you think, I'm the doer, forget it. You see, I'll be lucky if you even chant my rounds. But I understand, I'm just, as Prabhupada said, I'm just a puppet. And you pull my strings, you make me dance as you like. So that's how we have to follow that mood of Prabhupada. And there's no limit to what we can accomplish for spreading this movement. No limit, absolutely no limit. If we fully embrace the mood of our beloved Srila Prabhupada, there's no limit to what we can do. No, absolutely no limit. So if there's any questions, I can try to answer them. If there's not, we will adjourn. Okay. Is it a realization? I don't know if you want to share a realization, ask a question. Either way is okay.
Thank you again, Shankarshan, for such an enlivening class. When you were talking about even when the body is like, you know, totally wasted, you know, if we're in Krishna consciousness, we'll be feeling like useful and alive. And I saw Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj a few days before he left his body. And he, even though his body was very thin, his consciousness was so powerful and alive and energetic that you didn't notice it overshadowed like his physical demeanor. And he just seemed so blissful. And you know, he did some kirtan and he addressed, you know, each of us, because we had brought the Jagannath deities for him to take darshan up. We were going from New York to Baltimore. And then he just addressed all of us personally, and he remembered all of our names and everything. And this was like maybe 3 or 4 days before he left his body. And then, you know, after I had that experience, I thought, wow, you know, he looks so alive. I can't believe he's, you know, going to leave his body. And then someone told me later that he had, during that time when we saw him, he was experiencing more pain than he had ever experienced in his life. But yet, because he was so absorbed in Krishna consciousness.
A little hard of hearing. You talking about Prabhupada?
No, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj.
Oh, okay.
Gita Nagari. So he was, his consciousness was so awake in the absorption of Krishna that it just overshadowed everything else. It's a beautiful experience.
Bhakti Tirtha Swami Ki Jai.
Jai.
Very glorious God, brother. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a very nice class. It seems, at least from my own experience, that I'm doing, instead of 10 times more than my parents, I'm doing 1/10 as much as my parents. Because there seems like there's so many facets of Krishna consciousness, book distribution, Harinam, study of the literature, chanting rounds. And most of the day I find I'm just pulling myself out of Maya before I can actually go out and do something nice for the movement. So is there a time factor involved? Like, it takes time to absorb and realize to the point in which you will actually see the tangible. No, I mean, I see the effects on myself.
Yes. The process of Krishna, and the process of Krishna consciousness requires patience. Patience is one of the aspects of how to become Krishna conscious, because it does take time. I mean, I look back over the last, 46 years, that's 71, yeah, 46 years. And the changes, I've gone through a lot of changes. The process does work. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But if you stick with the process, you follow the principles, you chant your rounds, you remain a loyal follower of your spiritual master and our movement, then in the course of time, then it's miraculous. Things happen to your consciousness. Yes. Achyuta Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Sankarshan Prabhu, thank you very much for making your annual visit to New Dwarka. And we really appreciate your insights, sharing your experience in Krishna consciousness. Two things, just one on what Neela asked, and the second one, I'm going to ask you a question. In response to Neela, it's not that everybody should think that they are personally going to do 10 times more, but as an organization, that was Prabhupada's brilliance. He insisted on the organization staying together, stay within the organization, work together. Then you can together accomplish something. And we've seen that. Even though nobody in the ISKCON...
Sally, come here and tell me You can be my hero.
Yeah, even though no one in ISKCON would dare to say that they're, you know, they've accomplished more than Prabhupada, still as an organization we've expanded because we've stuck together and worked together. So, yeah, I think sometimes new devotees maybe get a little confused about this, that they personally have to do this and that. And in that mood, they run out and actually cause...
Let me get a summary because I can't make it
out. They run out and cause more problems.
Let me get a summary of what you're saying because I can't make it out. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, because I've seen this mentality where young devotees especially, and even some of the older devotees, thinking that they personally have to do something, and in that mood, they go out and create more problems than they do positive things, because they go off and do their own thing, rather than working together. But Prabhupada has already given us how to spread the movement. Book distribution, prasadam distribution, harinam, deity worship. So just plug in. Don't try to go out and do your own thing. Just plug into the established means of spreading Krishna consciousness and you will be successful because you're part of a successful movement. And my question to you is that normally I'd like to ask you about your entire travelogue, but if you could just give us a little summary, maybe a highlight of your... Maybe the highlight since you were here last, something that really sticks out to you. Thank you.
This particular tour, you mean, the one I'm on now? Are all the tours. Yeah, we... did we stop in the UK? David, did I give a lecture in London also? Did we lecture in the UK? On this tour, did we lecture in the UK? We didn't this time. Okay. Sometimes I stop at the manor and give a lecture there. No, I did give a lecture at the manor. Yeah. The first stop was Bhaktivinoda Manor. Yeah. And then we headed out to Mauritius for about a week and a half in the Mauritius. Many different temples there. And and then we went to South Africa, Pretoria. Series of lectures there, and also in Malaysia. There's a nice center in Malaysia. It's a big it's a pocket of Indians in Malaysia, outside of Johannesburg, a suburb of Johannesburg. And then from there we went over to Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, for about a week of lectures in that area, in Klang, which is a suburb of Kuala Lumpur, and also in Kuala Lumpur. And then we went to Melbourne, and like a whole week of lectures in Melbourne. Harinam in Melbourne was pretty ecstatic, downtown Melbourne. They have a really nice thing called the Urban Yoga Center. The Urban Yoga Center. And this whole Krishna West thing, they've been doing something without making a big deal out of it. For many years, they've been... they teach yoga lessons, and they have kirtan, they have prasadam, and it's quite an interesting group of people there. I went there and lectured. What was the lecture? Oh yeah, it was how to utilize distress for becoming self-realized. How you can use distress, you see. And we had a nice group of non-devotees were there. Just all non-devotees, like young people. There was one girl from... where was she from, that girl? She was from... forget. She was from South America, I think. Peru or somewhere. Yeah, she was really, really... she told us the whole story of how she had... she saw the Harinam party. She had heard a little bit about Krishna consciousness in South America, wherever she is from. She wasn't into it. And she had a whole transformation. She told us her whole story. She was so enlivened. She's becoming a devotee now. And tell us all. I spent about 20 minutes telling her whole story to me. She was just so happy to tell her story of how she saw the Harinam party and how it affected her consciousness. So, of course, we had a little adventure in flying from Melbourne to Los Angeles. The one of the engines wasn't working on the airplane, so they had to fly back. After 3 hours of flying out in the Pacific, they turned around and went back to Australia. And they dumped hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of jet fuel into the ocean because we couldn't land safely with all that fuel. If we landed all that fuel in the plane would have blown up. So that was a little adventure. We finally made it 6 hours late to L.A. It was already a long enough flight. It became 6 hours longer. So, and then here, it's always very wonderful to be here. To see your good self, Savas Prabhu, Judhakarma Prabhu, so many dear God brothers, Bhagapati Prabhu. It's very inspiring. I don't know everyone's names, but it's very, very inspiring to be here. Now we're heading back to Austin. Well, we've just gotten we just bought a building. We've been preaching out our house for years. Now we bought a building right on the interstate, a very good location, right on I-35. So we're going to be remodeling that. Maybe by Janmashtami we'll be able to move into it. I'm not sure. This Janmashtami, I don't know, maybe not this Janmashtami, maybe. Maybe not. We'll see. We're doing remodeling. And then we'll be there for the summer, and then we're heading out to Eastern Europe. We have a lot of preaching in Eastern Europe, and then on to India for Kartik. So we're serving the globe twice a year. We also go to Canada. We go to South America as well, Argentina and Chile. So Krishna has blessed me. I had this desire to preach, travel and preach, and he's fulfilled my desire by very kindly. Fulfilled my desire. Plus, I'm coming out now with I was formerly a singer-songwriter. Well, it doesn't sound like it today, but I'm coming out with a CD called Our Sweet Lord. I have a beautiful version of Prabhupada's poem. I put it to music, Adora Doria, Happy Day, with a 12-string guitar. Adora Durial. It'll be coming out soon. Our website is called turnontheworld.com. So I haven't released it yet. We're just waiting for a Mataji here to make the logo. One of your Matajis here is making the logo. Help me make the logo. Is she here today? Yeah. So we're designing the logo. I have a graphic artist. We need that painting of Krishna to put in it. So that'll be within a week or two, that'll be released. And so anyway, we're trying to, and then of course my e-course is there. I have 25,000 subscribers now on the e-course. So it's constantly growing every day. And we're trying to do whatever we can, like you say, it's a group effort. But every member of the group should try to do as much as he can. If I think, well, I don't have to do anything, it's just a group effort. You can take your point the other way and not have to do anything. I just take prashadam and come to Mangalarti and not worry about anything. No, everybody should be very eager to do as much as he can for pushing forward this movement. They should. But it's not that as a member of the movement, that's important, not going off on your own thing. Because there's synergy. We stick together, you see. Devotees who go away and start their own thing, as many have done, they become, as Prabhupada said, asara, useless. They're cut off from the Chaitanya tree. But those who stick with the institution that Prabhupada gave us, remain loyal to ISKCON, you see. We get synergy. And each individual should do as much as he can, but synergistically, he'll be more powerful by working within the structure. That's the point. But every devotee should try to do as much as he can. Not that, well, I shouldn't try to do anything. Oh, come on. Every devotee should try to do outstanding service, outstanding art, puja, outstanding kirtan, outstanding lectures, outstanding developing a very top-level understanding of the philosophy. Every devotee should try to excel as much as he possibly can. We need that kind of enthusiasm within our movement. So anyway, that's it. We thank y'all. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
At this point, I can hear you. That point you're making, but it's good that we don't remember our past lives because we're experiencing a lot of post-traumatic stress syndrome. It's an interesting point.
PST. Remember, we were a pig or a snake. Remember, our snake incarnation, we'd be freaked out. People are in that tower, the twin towers who survive, they have horrible nightmares. They have to go through psychological training just to get it out of their minds so they can be peaceful.